God don't want you to have a stroke. But if you don't love your wife like Christ loved the church, and then he sends somebody to tell you. Now see, God's merciful. He gives us time. He speaks to us again and again. And if we don't listen, he tells us once, he tells us twice, he tells us three times. Maybe he tells you four, five, or six times. Us as the big old boys, you know, I ain't afraid of God. He would never do nothing like that to me. And then bam. And all of a sudden you can't walk. And you're looking up from laying down. All of a sudden it comes real easy, doesn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, don't go there. Walk holy and obedient to God's word, and you won't have to worry about this. But Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin, because most men will give anything for their skin. When your skin gets afflicted, it's tough. Then he said, a man will give up everything he has to save his life. Five and six. But take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now, a lot of people will. A lot of people will curse you to your face. In fact, when we was in Norway the other day, there was a woman. Her daddy came to us, and he had problems with his knees. And we prayed for him, got him to repent of his sins, broke the curses over, and God healed that man just almost instantly. And so he said, I've got two daughters. One of them's got a heart problem and all kinds of things. And I said, well, is there any known sin in your daughter's life? Yes, he said, a couple of years ago she lost a son, and she's been mad at God ever since. I said, well, that's why she's got the problem, because instead of worshiping him, you know, I said, she had a sin that cost the baby its life, and now then she doesn't understand that, and so now she's mad at God, and I said, she'll just get worse and die. And so he got well, he brought her, and when she came that next night, she stood right there, beautiful, attractive woman, and she was mad, and I said, ma'am, I need the Lord needs to talk to you, and she's got her arms crossed. She said, I don't want to be here. I do not want to be in this place. I said, why? She said, I'm mad at God. I said, and you got all this sickness and disease, you got a heart problem and everything? Yes, but I'm mad at God because he took my son. I said, it was your sin that killed your son. So now you need to get straight with God. And I said, she said, I don't want to be here. I said, but God wants you to be here. I said, God loves you. He didn't want your son to die. He don't want you to die. But I said, if you're going to keep going like you're going to die. I said, you're going to have to come back to God. I said, and you might go to hell, woman. I can't guarantee where you're going to go, but I said, if you're rebellious like this, you might die and go to hell. I said, do you want to bust hell wide open? She says, no. I said, all right, I want you to repent. And of course, in a few minutes, she starts crying. The woman repents. And I said, now tell the Lord you're sorry, you got mad at him, and that you love him. And she told him that, and she loved him. I prayed for her a week or two later, whatever it was. She had an appointment with the doctor in Norway, went back, and the doctors checked her, and there wasn't nothing wrong with her.
Praise the Lord.
Now then, God's good, isn't he? That night they also told her, I believe she was the one, or was that the other daughter that had the thing that she had to have that morphine or whatever on that pump, same one? Yeah, and they told her, said, if you don't, if she, after she got prayed for and she saw what had happened to her daddy, she told the doctor, I don't want this stuff no more. And the doctor said, if you get off of this stuff for as much as, what was it, 1 hour? He said, if you don't take this every hour, you're going to have great, awesome pain in your body. And she had all kinds of lung problems. So anyway, after repenting, getting right with God and the prayer of faith, that night when she was going to hook the thing up to go to bed to sleep, it automatically puts that stuff in her body every 30 minutes or hour or whatever. She forgot to plug it in. And she slept 12 hours and woke up with absolutely no pain. And she realized how good she felt. And then she looked over there and the machine wasn't even plugged in. I wonder who it was that kept her from plugging that in. Who do you think that might have been, young lady? Absolutely. The Lord was trying to show that girl, I'm a merciful God and I have healed you now that you've done what I said. I am a merciful King and I have healed you and you don't need that. All you need is me, he says. And he does that to his children. And aren't we glad he's merciful?
Yeah.
I am grateful that he's merciful. But here he says, take away his health and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. Who's in control? God is. Next verse. So Satan left the Lord's presence and he struck Job with a terrible case of boils from head to foot. Then Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Now, boy, this is a sad thing, isn't it? From the top to the bottom, he's got sores and boils all over his body, 9 and 10. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die?" I'm glad I ain't got a wife like that. I'm glad mine will pray for me when I need help. But Job replied, "You talk like a godless woman." Who knows? She might have been. I don't know. "Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. He's quite a man of integrity here. I will let say, pretty good. Three of Job's friends were Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shulamite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. When they heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their home to comfort and console him. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust in the air over their heads and demonstrate their grief. He must have really looked awful, you know it? 13 and 14. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights, and no one said a word. They sat on the ground with him for how long? A week. 7 days and nights, and nobody said a word. They were speechless, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. I mean, you know, when you go to a hospital and you see somebody in bad shape, and I've been to a lot of hospitals, to a lot of people, and plugged into all kinds of stuff, and they're really hurting. But and of course, I will have to say, when I walked in the hospital and saw my granddaughter, you know, her face tore all to pieces. That was the most awesome thing I think I have ever seen, to see that little face tore all to pieces on somebody that little that I loved, that was my own granddaughter. But I didn't let that move me at all. I didn't go by what I saw. I stood on the Word of God. And today that little girl's fixing to have her 12th birthday in January. She's going to be 12. She come running here the other day and jumped up in my lap. You know how these little girls are, you know. They know how to get to daddy, granddaddy. You know that? Jumped right up in my lap, put her arm around me, kissed me on the cheek, said, "Granddaddy, you know that my birthday is in January." I said, "Yes, honey, I know." I said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want a pony." Oh, Lord. Want a pony. Oh, Lord. Lord, give me whatever I need, whether she needs that or not. I ain't sure that she needs a pony yet, but anyway. Oh, she knows how to work, Granddaddy. I'll say that. She told Grandma the other day, she said, "Grandma, I need to go shopping. I want a toy stuffed dog." Grandma said, "Honey, I don't have no money." She said, "Go get Granddaddy. He's got all kinds of money. He'll buy me one." And guess what they did? They come got Granddaddy and took him down to the store and bought her a little stuffed dog. Oh, Lord, what I do for these daughters and granddaughters. Praise God. Verse 14 and 15. Oh, that's all of that, isn't it? Next chapter. Chapter 3, verse 1. At last Job spoke, and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, "Cursed be the day of my birth, and cursed be the night when I was conceived. Let that day be turned into darkness, let it be lost even to God on high, and let it be shrouded in darkness." Verse 5 and 6. "Yes, let the darkness and utter gloom claim it for its own. Let a black cloud overshadow it, and let the darkness terrify it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear among the months," 7 and 8. "Let that night be barren. Let it have no joy. Let those who are experts at cursing, those who are ready to rouse the sea monster, curse that day," verse 9 and 10. "Let the morning stars remain dark. Let it hope for light, but in vain may it never see the morning light. Curse it for its failure to shut my mother's womb, for letting me be born to all this trouble." Verse 11 and 12. "Why didn't I die at birth as I came from the womb? Why did my mother let me live? Why did she nurse me at her breast?" 13 and 14. "For if I had died at birth, I would be at peace now, asleep and at rest. I would rest with the world's kings and prime ministers, famous for their great construction projects. I would rest with wealthy princesses whose palaces were filled with gold and silver. Why was I not buried like a stillborn child, like a baby who never lives to see the light? For in death the wicked cease from troubling and the weary are at rest. Even prisoners are at ease in death with no guard to curse them." rich and poor are there alike, and the slave is free from his master. Oh, why should light be given to the weary and life to those in misery? They long for death, and it won't come. They search for death more eagerly than for hidden treasures. It is a blessed relief when they finally die, when they find the grave. Why is life given to those with no future, those destined by God to live in distress? I cannot eat for sighing my groans pour out like water. What I have always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come to be. I have no peace, no quietness, I have no rest. Instead, only trouble comes. Verse 25, I want you to meditate on that a second. What did he say? What I have always feared has happened to me. When I read that, first time I read that it soaked in on me years and years ago. My children were little bitty. I said, Lord, I'm going to have no fear for my children. I don't care what you do with them. They're a gift from you. You give them to me. You can take them away when you want to. But my life's the same. I do not belong to myself. I belong to you. I'm not going to have any fear. I'm not going to fear anything as I go through life. I'm just going to live every day without any fear. I don't care where I am. I don't care what I'm doing. I don't care what's going on. There will be no fear in my life because the things you fear seem to possess you. They'll overtake you. Some people go through life thinking all these bad things. Oh, my children. Oh, what if something bad happens to my child? And it does. It does. Just like Job. Job feared these things. I believe with all my heart this is the door that was open in Job's life. One of them. Now we'll find out more as we get over in chapter 32, which we're going to from here. But I'm going to show you that right here we see a problem in Job's life. As children of God, we're not supposed to fear, are we? We're supposed to cast all our fears on Him because He cares for us, right? So you and me are not supposed to walk in fear, are we? No. We're supposed to walk in total love and total authority and dominion on this earth as God's children.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Job Was a Sinner, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.